You're listening to Fakeologist Audio Chat. To connect to our always-on and always-streaming audio chat, go to fakeologist.com/radio3. To participate in the chat, go to fakeologist.com/audio chat. Each day, we compress and upload the day's chat, be it big or small. Leave a quick message, do a whole show. All are welcome when it's related to fakeology. Now, on with today's audio. Good morning. It is April 26, 2020. I've got Farce Value and Tom, two of my favorite fakeologists in the whole wide world. Okay, Farce, you have something to say about the Nova Scotia shooter. Did you see the FBI files show that was?
I did.
Did you actually watch it? The show?
No. I just saw. I noticed that. You know, I read the
article. Episode 11.
No kidding.
Yeah, I put all that in my post. Episode 11. I read that yesterday, but it was such a shit show on yesterday's audio chat. I might not have heard it, but episode 11. Did you see my post?
I'm not sure if I looked at.
If you want to encourage more audios like these, please go to fakeologist.com and click the Patreon button under the donate section. For $1.19 a month, you can call yourself a verified listener, and for $9.11 a month, a benefactor who will get a shout out every time Ab does a show. Thank you for your support. Okay, thank you. Okay, I'm looking on my blog right now. I did an edit to the Nova Scotia post. Did you see that?
I don't have it open right now.
I'm going to find it for you. Did you see it, Tommy?
Yeah, I did see it, but I'm just trying to find it now myself, actually.
Okay, let me find it here. Yeah, you got to type fakeologist.com/blog. Here we go. This is my post. If you thought the Nova Scotia shooting was fiction, ... then you were right. It was. Episode 11. Psyops are a mind game where you are the play. I got to edit that. See, I type most of these posts on my phone, just so you know. So sometimes they have autocorrect on the phone. So I'll type something and it'll change it. I won't notice it changed it. Anyway, the FBI Most Wanted episode, days before Nova Scotia shooting rampage, features eerie similarities in the episode. In the episode, a man named Gabriel goes on a murderous spree while wearing his police uniform. Whether it influenced Gabriel Wartman may be unknowable. So there's the story. Almost exact script. The guy's got the same name.
Gabriel as well, a biblical name.
The week before on national television, which I don't watch.
And I want to say I watched a video breakdown. And if I recall correctly, I don't know if I would say that this was official, but it almost sounded like that one of the deaths was declared over Twitter. And then it was almost like taken as face value from a Twitter tweet, which then that's kind of how I got onto it. It was like faking your death is that, you know, you just need a couple of Facebook posts and some tweets and then business as usual. And you close your bank account or whatever. And that's it.
Everyone knows it's spread now so instantly. It's get your information out just like that. Everyone's got it. Because they got it through their trusted Facebook or Twitter or whatever, it's like earthy information. It's real.
But what do you think of that TV show being a week before? Is that not enough?
Well, isn't that the same case with the Giffords?
Gabby Giffords thing, and where she was.
There was a TV show that mirrored all of that, including the freezing the brain for surgery.
It may have well been. That one is so old now.
Yeah, there was almost an exact mirror of everything that happened in that
But what does that tell you? What is the point of that, do you think? There's only one point in my mind.
I talked about it yesterday, the technique of foreshadowing in storytelling.
It's for foreshadowing. I think it's to sow confusion in your mind. It's to blend fiction with reality so you can't know what the hell you're thinking. It really is a psyop. That's a mind war. And if your mind, like, for instance, I heard when Libya was having their little civil war to get rid of, after Gaddafi was removed, that PSYOPs was busy at work telling all the people assaulting the presidential palace that your side has already surrendered, just stop. When, of course, there was real no organization to the rebel side, but they were broadcasting messages that you've already surrendered, so why are you here? So, yeah.
Exactly. Well, that's what they're doing with it. They're kind of telling the story before it happens, so that when it happens, it makes sense. Do you know what I mean?
Oh yeah, I know. It's preconditioning. I agree with that. But I think even more powerful is you can't remember what is fiction and what is reality, because these two stories are now in your head and they're blending away and they're spinning away like a wash cycle of a washing machine, so you don't know which towel is real or which one is fake. It's just...
They enhance each other, don't they? They enhance each other just by their existence.
Yes, and they're in your mind at the same time. If you heard this, they're just tumbling around in your brain, and it just throws you off completely. You don't remember which part was the FBI show and which part was what the news told you. You just don't. You can't really sort it out perfectly. That's a mind war. That's why when they tell you there's a drill before 9/11, where they set up all the tents, they had all the tents in front of the hospitals on 9/11 to receive the people as a drill. That's how they set it up. You cannot set up tents overnight. Well, I guess you could, but you can't set up tents quickly. You got to get companies to supply the tents, and you got to get people to put them up. It takes time.
I think that the television, the foreshadowing, could also be like a softening, a reception conditioning mechanism.
Yeah.
If you see it enough, you recognize it as something that's possible or even likely.
Yes.
When in reality, it's very far-fetched.
Yes, preconditioning. Yeah, that's right. It's preconditioning. It's like tenderizing meat.
But, you know, I've been having this argument with this guy who, initially when we started talking about this stuff, he recognized that the media had a serious anti-Trump bias, and he was kind of on board that the media is lying and fake or whatever. So I started talking about 9/11, but then he backed off from that completely. He's like, does not accept the idea the media can create news. And his standard is... He says, well, I asked myself, could that happen? That's a very broad standard. Like, almost anything could happen. The most outlandish thing you could imagine could in some way happen. But if it's that far-fetched, don't you think if they're bringing this outlandish claim to us, they should have some evidence to back it up? I mean, but that's kind of the thing that I run into, even with the people that I've had longstanding conversations with. That's still the standard. Well, this could happen. Somebody could bring a pressure cooker to the Boston Marathon and set
and cook something.
That's crazy. People's pants. It could. You could shred a guy's pants. I mean,
without shredding his leg.
Yeah.
It's a pants shredder.
Well, and the other issue I run into too is these people never know the details of the events. They don't know the names. They don't know the Gene Rosens, who's the Rosenbaum from Planet Video or whatever. And I mean, it just goes on. There's so many. The cast of characters in these things is usually pretty broad, and they never know anything about the whole story. It's just the headline soundbite that's on the media, the news, repeated ad infinitum for days on end. Encapsulation, and that's what they hear and recognize. And it's really the details, I think, that gives the lie to the whole thing once you hear what they are.
Mm-hmm. Well, we got John LeBon in here as well. Did he ever come back in yesterday's show? I haven't even listened to yesterday's show. Did John LeBon come back to say goodbye?
I think he made a big announcement about his grand exodus, but I didn't hear him yesterday.
So. How many hours did the last night's show go for? Thank you,
Rick. He's waiting for the room to fill up.
Oh, it says here, no, he did not. He didn't. It didn't feel right. I guess they didn't want to wreck the Dave J. Mood.
No, but look, I think John LeBon sounds more genuine than he's ever sounded. And I think you cannot go on a show with 20 people talking. It's impossible. Impossible.
Well, especially if Dave J is yelling at Exoterra Rick, he'll never get through.
Oh man, I am dying to get online with that guy.
I know you are.
It's gonna happen, and it will happen. It will happen. As soon as I'll hear him, I'm gonna come on there and get him. I'm coming to get that guy. He's gonna go. But anyway, John LeBon, I actually have been really enjoying his podcast, and I've shared them a few times too, which is pretty amazing. So you know, he's done some great stuff. Totally sounds genuine these days to me.
Well,
no, John is a good guy.
I know. He's got the voice.
Needs a full room. I mean, maybe we want to have somebody provide a little warm up, like an MC, get the crowd all warmed up, and then when he comes back, you can have like this.
Fast Gully, you have got a great voice. Totally great voice. You've got a good. There's a good tenor. Or timber.
Is that coming through? Timber. Is that coming through, Rick? Can you hear this?
I don't know. But yeah, you've got. You've got a great timber.
Did that come through, that little drop?
Oh, no, I didn't hear a drop.
No?
Mm-mm.
No. But,
oh, you know why? I got the drops off.
Okay.
Let me start them up. I got a little script I put on. And I heard that, eh?
That's a fact. That's a fact.
Did you get that?
That's a fact.
Oh yeah.
Get closer to the mic.
You're clueless.
He offered an interesting tidbit yesterday that I thought could be useful when he said,
SMJ?
If you have any personality, you can pick five news topics of the day and pick a side, doesn't matter which one, and start a podcast and talk about them.
Oh, easy.
Within the two-box paradigm or whatever. And
who said that?
Following. Huh?
Who said that?
Dave J said that yesterday.
Like, I agree with that. I totally agree with that.
I agree with that, too.
If you go Orange Man Bad, then, yeah, people listen to you all day long, probably.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, tell me, guys, though, what do you think about this injecting disinfectant thing? I cannot believe
it. I did not hear it.
It's everywhere. And on our ABC, which is our BBC, if you know what, you know, government radio stations like, tonight they had a thing about what's your worst conspiracy theory, and the people ring up rubbishing conspiracy theorists, making, you know.
But even if Donald Trump did it deliberately, I still think he's actor in chief. He's so good, he has me confused a lot of the times, which is great. PsyOps, I've said this so many times. If you can't convince, confuse. So Donald Trump always has me confused. He seems like he's on our side, but he's not. Probably not. He just can't be.
Probably not.
He can't be.
Definitely
because
not.
He'd be removed. If Rick, yeah. If you were put as president, you got in
I'll
there somehow,
shocked.
they would take you out.
Within a week, I'll be gone.
They would get rid of you because you're not in the program. So Donald Trump is confusing as hell. Now, when he says something wacky, of course, Donald Trump has dominated the news every single day before he got in and then when he got in. And he uses Twitter, or his staff uses Twitter. I don't think he's doing half the tweets, if any. They put it in there. They set the agenda every single day. It's fantastic. They control the narrative every single day. Now, this crazy comment about the bleach, I didn't hear it. I'm going to have to find it now because now it's becoming big. It's just like Corona. I didn't think Corona was going to take over, but it did. So now we have to talk about it. And just like this bleach thing is taking control of the narrative. Now, for how long is it going to take control of the narrative? So it's already been a few days. So what it does is we're not talking about the protests in Wisconsin that were quite large. We had a really terribly wimpy, tiny one here in Ontario. It was pathetic. So we know Canadians are sheep. We know we would line up for slaughter.
Yep.
It's a great indication when we only have 100 people to show up. But if thousands show up in Wisconsin, we know that America has the potential to resist. It's a weak potential in my mind. But Donald Trump has taken all these stories out of the narrative. And now all we talk about is it good to put Lysol in your veins? Was he joking? Was he not joking? Do you see how this has become such a nonsensical narrative that we're all talking about? So it's taking our energy away. It's taken our energy away from, can you catch a virus? Our virus is real. Our scientists all agreed on that viruses cause sickness. Is there something else to causing sickness? Is the germ theory valid? Was Louis Pasteur a fraud? These are the only questions we should be asking. Because if we can nullify the idea that viruses are contagious, then this whole thing has been a waste of time. And then we have to say, well, why are they destroying the economy? What is the purpose? Well, there's so many purposes. The real estate market in all major Western cities was hyperinflated. Why? Because people needed to put their money somewhere because there's almost negative interest in the bank account. So we had to pop that bubble. People are getting too fat around the Western world. That's a reason. So all the people that would rather sit on their asses, they're eating good food or rich food, just like when Rome, I guess, was getting out of control, and no one is there to do the work. No one's there to sweep the streets. No one's there to look after the old. No one's there to drive the trucks. We cannot just keep bringing in immigrants from the third world to do all these nasty jobs. We have to do something. We have to poke the people, say, listen, stop eating your steak and drinking your wine every single night. You guys got to get to work. We got to get this country going. So there's so many reasons to potentially destroy the economy, the lower half anyway. The big boys will always stay standing.
Exactly.
But just to get the lower end off their asses, like Rick, I know you're in the cleaning business. If you wanted to expand your business, would a white Australian, a young person, come join you and say, yeah, I want a career cleaning offices? Would that be possible?
Absolutely,
you could get young white Australians to do your job?
For sure. And I would have to if I refuse to take the vaccine.
I'm asking you, I'm saying young people don't want to work at all over here, just in general.
No, why would they when they're getting given $600?
Well, yeah. Well, now we're paying students $1,250 a month from May till August to sit home. I don't think after expenses, bus, transit, getting to work, blah, 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 I don't think they'd make much more than $1,250 a month. So, I'll take that money.
So how is that going to incentivize people to work when you're giving them the
money? Well, they're claiming they owe it to the people because they've shut down those jobs. They're shut down. They can't take the jobs because they're shut down. All those restaurant jobs are gone. All those service industry jobs are gone right now. Are they coming back? Well, the government can't even tell us. Okay, maybe the end of May, or maybe the end of June, or maybe the end of July. So by then,
predict if somebody went out of business and they liquidated and they've declared bankruptcy and they lost their place of business because they couldn't afford the rent. How are they coming back?
Well, that's the whole point.
The government can decide
they
that
are
people
not coming
can come
back.
It's not.
Well, a lot of restaurants, a lot of guys that were. We've had a couple old restaurants that the owners have said were. It doesn't matter now. We're done. We're not coming back anyway. So we're done. We had enough. Because the restaurant business is hard enough to be in when things are going well.
Did you hear what Rollo read? He read out the local paper
I just got
today. Well, he read out a story from the local paper in Australia, and it said movie theaters will now be given a checkerboard. That's what they said, a checkerboard.
Oh, checkerboard seating?
Yes.
Well, let's be honest. Movie theaters, unless it's a Marvel blockbuster, are mostly empty most of the time. Let's just be clear about that. I don't know. We have one chain left. We had a few at the beginning, maybe 10, 15 years ago. We have one chain left, and I don't know where they got their money. I think it's a British chain that took over the Canadian chain. People go once in a while to blockbusters, but for the most part, these things are empty. I don't think a checkerboard thing is going to be a problem.
It's not going to be a problem, but just the fact they use the word checkerboard, people are going to go,
oh, I see.
Yeah,
but... And I just talked to Ophalus the other day. The guy's got a gigabyte connection to his house. I can only dream of having a connection that fast. That's 1,000 megabytes into his house through a fiber optics optical modem.
Is that where they have to be 5G? No,
it's a gigabyte connection. That's a wired piece of glass that goes right from the switching right up to his wall. And then on the other side of the wall...
We interrupt our program to bring you this important message.
Hi, I'm Psyopticon, and you're listening to Fakeologist Radio.
Thank you, Psyopticon. Actually, he's a donor as well, a big donor, so thank you very much. But the point is, Ophalus says he can download a 4K movie in seconds. Now, I can't do it at that speed. I usually just start the download and come back in the morning. But he can get a whole movie in 30 seconds with his gigabyte connection. He doesn't need to go to the movie theater. He can make his own popcorn. I know it's a fun experience. You know, you take a girl, have a date, snuggle and sit beside her. But unfortunately, I think those are past days. So how is a movie theater operation going to make sustained money?
No idea.
Well, I think it's not. I think it's done. It's not a good business.
It's definitely gone. It's gone. It has to be gone. We are now living in the new, which I kept getting emails saying it's a new, get over it, we're in the new world order, and movies...
Well, all this is a reset of the essential, non-essential businesses. So now we are all witness to what's essential and what's not essential. We can see the difference in traffic, the different pollution. So I feel bad for all the people that are quote-unquote non-essential, because they must be staring at themselves in the mirror every morning if they get up at all until before noon and say, I'm non-essential. What am I doing? What my job is deemed not important. No, it might come back in some form, but that's a pretty big blow for someone's ego, isn't it? Now, I've always known that my job is, I'm at the bottom of the ladder, so I always knew if I lost my job or fell... or was fired, okay, it's only 2 feet to the ground. I'll survive. I can just go deliver pizza or something or do Uber. It's
whatever.
Not a big deal.
Whatever. Yeah.
So I'm not in some lofty position, and I know that no matter what, you can't do my job from China. You know, you have to be here. There's no way around it.
It's the same as the 5G truck thing. Sure, you can have automatic trucks turning around and whatever, but who's going to get out of the truck and deliver and pick up the thing that's in the back of your truck and pull it out and deliver it? You need to have humans still to this day.
Right now, you certainly do. I totally agree with it. And even humans aren't that great at these jobs. Robots, if they have a short circuit or they're running Windows, they're going to crash. I know I have to reset my Windows computer all the time. I can tell that the Windows computer... that's running this audio chat right now, it's already screwed up because the bumpers are coming 1 minute late right now. Why? Because they can't connect to the time server. There's always an error under Windows to connect to the time server, so the clock gets out of sync. How are we going to fly planes and drive trucks with Windows-type software? It's not happening.
It's crappy
software. It's Bill Gates. The point is... computers are not there yet. Okay, they might be in a generation or two, but right now they can't do a lot of stuff.
Yeah, it's like the did you ever see the automated robots that do forklift positions? I always thought that was such a pipe dream.
No, we had that. I was at a printing plant that they had that, and I loved watching the guys. See, they could bring it to the dock, but they didn't put it in the truck. So there were humans that did that at the biggest newspaper in Toronto.
Oh my God, what overkill. And
it was fun because the guys on the regular forklifts would fool around with the robots. They'd drive a circle around them, and the robot would reverse. They were there, man. They knew that these robots were not their friends.
No, of course. There's a lot of fun to be had with a robot. No two ways about that. But they certainly are pushing it to happen.
Whoa, thank you very much, Mr. Farsvalio. I should cut you off more often. Thank you for the donation.
You guilted me into it when you told me that, Sapticon was big. And I've been meaning to do it for a while, and you reminded me of it.
Wow, that's super generous. Thank you very much. Let me upgrade you on the spot. Fantastic. Thank you.
I didn't know it was going to come in and be so awkward on the air, but anyway.
No. You deserve the kudos. Thank you very much. I appreciate that. I'm going to be quiet now while I and thank you in the Patreon
more,
section.
Considering I'm non-essential, I mean.
Oh, I know. I'm sorry about that.
I wanted to comment on that, too, about the idea of, like, who makes the decision about what's essential and what isn't.
The AI, possibly. Who's to know? But,
I think Bill Gates and their whatever committee they're on, they've planned this thing out. Every government has the script of what to make essential. Bill Gates and his organizations are so widespread. They've had 20 years at least to plan this. So everyone's got the list.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so maybe some governments leave pot shops open and some don't. But overall, they've got the script. They've got the list.
I think so.
I don't think our doofus who runs our province, Premier Ford, I don't think he has any idea. He's not making any decisions. He can't be. He's aggressive. He got there by cheating. I'm sure of it. He won, and he didn't let me vote. I was a member
funny
of the
that.
Party.
Funny
and
that. Funny that.
He just he. He's not doing any of these things. This is a script. There's just no way. He's just reading the script of what he's supposed to do, and all he wants to be is liked. That's every time I watch the guy, you can say he just wants to be liked. He doesn't care what he says. There's certain people like that.
Mm-hmm. Well, definitely 100%. 100%.
But yeah, they must have a list of essential services that they were given as part of the. You know, what are the documents? There's the Event 201 drill. There's the Rockefeller document called Lockdown.
Yeah, Lockdown 2010. Lockstep 2020.
So
2010.
The think tanks have figured all this out. This is the only thing they couldn't have predicted possibly is the reaction in every jurisdiction. I think they have a good idea, but I don't think they could.
Yeah, now.
Yeah, I don't. Yeah, now they have it.
Yeah, definitely now they have it. And we've done a fantastic job of giving it to them by being, what's the word, complacent? Well, not us, but the rest of the public. And,
yes.
You know, they've been able to say, well, you know, 50% of them have locked themselves in, 50% didn't. Who were the people that didn't? What were they listening to? Who were they talking to?
Yeah, how can we deal with them?
Yeah, that's it.
The dissenters.
Exactly. The centers. How do we talk to them? How do we make them become complacent? And, you know, do we need to...
We're the Katniss Club.
For sure. For sure.
Well, I spoke with a friend last night that has been traveling. He's been to Japan and China. He spent some time in China, and he was pretty, very, I don't know what I would say, maybe disappointed and alarmed, possibly, about the level of conformity and...
Mm-hmm.
Oppression, but not necessarily oppression, but he described it as if the people are actually welcoming the tyranny and the limitations. He said he couldn't, his phone was useless over there. He had a friend that worked at a university, and he could get in there and get on a VPN. And he said it's just this constant cat and mouse game over there of trying to chase down the VPN and defeat the people that are trying to eliminate and block the IPs or whatever. They have zero access to any information that's counter to the narrative over there. But he also said that he had the impression that people really didn't seem to mind. And then there's that whole culture of
For sure. It's happened. I mean, there are people here absolutely, getting their jollies from reporting the next door neighbor. For deciding to talk to someone or having three people over for a dinner, the next door neighbors reported them that this is happening. And apparently in America, there are apps that you get rewards for, was it California? For letting people know what's going on.
Well, snitches get rewards. I didn't see that.
I think it's real.
Yeah. I know Gavin Newsom was talking about that. He is such a, wow. He looks like the smooth business type guy from the Joker movie. He is, and actually IPS is, I still think he's really good. I'm surprised.
Oh, good. I have. Because you shared a few things, so yeah, I have checked him out. And he's got a great voice. I listened to your the chat you did with him, and Rollo and I were both remarking how what we were more interested in was listening to his producers.
I know, that was fun. That was fun. I still don't have the actual finished product. He hasn't given it to me, and I don't know where it is. So that's why I recorded it, because I didn't want to go look for it.
Yeah, Rollo said the same thing as I thought. I said, it was interesting to hear the producers, both of them, discuss, because it was a bit like, I mean, when the Fart Podcast was, it was a similar thing going on. Behind the scenes, there was lots of discussions and, you know,
did a fantastic, he's some kind of artist, and he did a fantastic, I'm going to post the video now, let me find it. He turned Gavin Newsom into the Joker. Here it is. Here, it's really well. That's the music. Let me post it in the live stream show notes. He did a really good job. Take a look at it if you can. Where he takes Gavin Newsom is sort of the good-looking governor. I can't remember where he came from.
Turned him into the Joker.
He just paints him as the Joker. Go check that. That's funny. It's really funny. He does a good job with this graphics program he's using. I think it's on.
Well,
is it cool?
He's a talent. He's a talent, and he's got. I like his voice actually, because he actually is quite knowledgeable on all subjects, obviously. But
so you have listened to him, huh? Yeah.
His producers though are serious business. There's two of them, and those guys mean business. They knew, shut up, talk. Shut up, talk. They had it running. You know, it was very well done.
Yeah, they did. It was good. It was good. I wish I heard the finished product, but
we haven't
get a hold of it.
Yeah, well, eventually. But yeah, no, I thought it was good. And by the way,
if anyone wants a copy of the Hoaxbusters archive, I've got it now.
Excellent.
So you don't have to go download it from TalkShoe. I think I have it here. On my server, and let's see here. So I do have the link. If anyone wants to take it, they are certainly welcome to it. I'm not sure. Actually, no. Johnny is still building it.
Okay.
Yeah, he's still building it. I've got only two gigabytes.
Yeah,
if anyone wants
where
to...
Where it comes on.
Yeah, actually, he didn't finish. Now that I think about it, some other archive I got. But I'll share that if anyone wants it.
No, that's sure. Cool.
I'd be interested in that. And I'm going to run on, guys, man.
Thank you, Farce Value. Appreciate it.
Great voice, man. Great voice.
And Farce Value has donated in the past. I was just looking at the archives of the donations on the main page here. And you've been a supporter for a long time. So I really appreciate it, Farce.
Fantastic.
No, you have. You have. You've donated over the years, for sure. Fantastic. Thank you.
All right. Well, enjoy, guys.
See you, brother. Bye. Excellent, man.
Thank you. Take care.
And Mr. Fakeologist, I've got to go, but fantastic chat again. Nice chatting with you.
It's fun listening. Bro. I don't mind that someone gives Dave J a hard time in the sense that everyone needs opposition. I know someone has to do it.
Some good to do it. Some good to do it. But anyway, look.
It's good audio, too.
We've got Rollo back on the chat, and that's the best thing ever.
That's what you wanted.
I wanted that, yeah, for sure. And Tom Delpra, and he's there
He's great.
He has got a great voice, and he's got a great lucid conversation. You know, he can go anywhere.
Very good. He's very good. Tom Delpra is very good.
Tom Delpra.
I agree. Everyone is great here.
Yeah,
this
is a great server. Look, thanks to fakeologist.com.
I just host it. I don't really do much.
It doesn't matter, though, but Rollo managed to get the biggest star in Australia to drop your business name. So he's pretty fucking clever. He's clever. But anyway, look, got to go.
Fakeologist.com.
Yeah.
Beautiful. Anyway, guys,
absolute wanker.
That was an achievement. That was.
Are you seeing anybody about your mental problems?
That was good. That was really good. I know you like that, Rick. You're a good man, Rick. You're a good. Send me that. Thank you, Rick. Thank you, Rick.
Thank you, Rick. I will. No, I haven't got it, but I'll find it. Anyway, all good.
Valisette has it. He's holding back.
He is. He's always been really nasty, but we'll find it. We'll get it off.
He's competitive.
He's okay. So competitive. It's unbelievable.
Anyway, have you listened to Hoax Buster?
No.
What's it called? Hoax Mysteries? No, Hoax.
No, it's Hoax. 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 Oh, God.
Hoaxatologist?
No. It's called Hoax. Hoax.
It's really memorable, isn't it?
Yeah. I liked it, but...
It flies off the tip of your tongue. Hoax Buddies. No. Hoax. I'm typing it in now.
Hoax. Something or others.
Hoax Syndicate. Here it goes.
Hoax Syndicate. Okay. I'm sure
it's... Let me go on the website and play the preview track so you can just listen. Let me click the listen button.
I'll stay up for that.
Sorry. You got to pay. I wanted to play a preview.
Can you pay it for us?
Pay it forward.
Pay it forward, you cunt.
No. Anyway, they do Allen show on here. LiveRichUSA.com.
Excellent. Anyway, hey, Mr. Focal is fantastic as usual. See you next Saturday. And or maybe earlier, I'm not sure. But look, I'm telling you now.
Marcus show... just dropped in. Hey, Marcus. Oh, I knew it. Do you swear?
Right.
Okay, true. You didn't hear that?
That's true. No, I didn't. Did he say thanks? Did he swear in his testicles?
That didn't come through? I'm pissed off.
I heard something.
You heard that?
Did he swear on the testicles of his children or whatever?
Did that come through, Rush?
No.
Oh, you know what? I'm getting sick of this Discord. I've got the sensitivity down super low.
No, I did that because...
There's a problem with it.
Yeah, but you know who I did it because Velocet.
Is that coming through?
No, Velocet made me turn mine right down to low, and it actually makes it even more harder to hear. But except for when you're on a podcast, so there's something good about it.
This is pissing me off.
Anyway,
thank you, Rick.
Anyway, hey man, good speaking to you, and I'll speak to you soon. Okay.
All right.
And listen. Do yourself a favor and shake your own hand because you've done an amazing job.
Oh, I can't shake it.
Shake something else. All right, man.
You're a good man, Rick. Thank you, Rick.
All right. Go and play the Guess Who. What's his name? What's a great song by the Guess Who? No, the...
No Sugar Tonight? No.
Yeah, no, Great Sugar. No, the lead singer from the Guess Who we played...
Burton Cummings. Shake your hand.
Here you are. Okay, forget about that. His song, Burton Cummings' greatest solo song that I love playing. That he plays
Share
on
the
piano. He plays it on the piano. Anyway.
Best song. Let me just hear it. I'll go through the list.
Burton Cummings.
These Eyes, Stand Tall. Bring it to them gently.
Stand Tall. Listen, play Stand Tall, and you can Rollo can do the backing vocal.
Is that coming through?
Wow, what a song.
It is coming through.
Yeah. Bits and pieces. Oh my God. That's a song. But then again.
So you're getting it?
Yeah.
It's very faint at the moment. You like
that? That's good. Yeah, no, man, listen. Anyway, Stand Tall.
Thank you.
Stand Tall. Go and play that song for yourself.
Thank you. Thank you, Rick.
That's all.
Yeah.
All right, guys.
Take care.
Go and enjoy Burton.
Thank you.
I'm signing off to the kids to put the bed.
All right, it's nighttime there. We just woke up.
Oh, yes. Okay. Well, enjoy your breakfast. Fresh strawberries.
Raspberries. Yeah.
All that. Excellent. Rollo, go and put on the song.
It's a nice one.
I just can't believe I can throw it all away.
Well, here we are. We're back. We're back on the Fakeologist Audio Chat. Everyone's left. That was Burton Cummings, Stand Tall. Thank you very much for listening. Thank you to Forest Value. Made a fantastic contribution there. Thank you for Rick and all his chat. Thank you for everyone listening. I am going to get on with the morning. Anyone wants to chat, you're welcome to come back anytime. Bye-bye.
That's all, folks.